This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
In the price of the car, there are five numbers. Using all five numbers, write down the price of that automobile. Go. 19,000 what? 19, you can use the one twice. You can't do that.
And the Bulldog.
You've used the one twice. Look, right down here. What do you want to write? You want to write 19,000? Write it down.
On WGR.
No, $1.20 beats 85 cents. It's not even close. What do you mean you can't go over? So if you're a waiter and the bill is $40 and they give you a $50 bill, do you kick them out of the restaurant?
Now, come on. Let's go. You're going to lose your turn if you don't write. 19,000. Now, what, please tell me, do you have here?
Sports Radio 550.
Bulldog, do you care who starts at quarterback Sunday for the Jets?
Not exactly. I feel like either guy could play well. Like, Flacco's had his days. He's sort of a punchline. You know, is Joe Flacco elite? But, you know, he's had good days in the league, and so has Darnold. So, no, I think their problems lie around whoever is under center more so than which guy is actually throwing the ball, believe it or not. So, not a lot, I guess I'd say. I can't really tell you I've got a preference. I've been hearing all day about Darnold practicing a little bit and thinking about Flacco, and I can't really come down on a, yeah, I really want this outcome. I guess I don't care.
What a way to start a day's conversation, right?
Like, yeah.
We don't see each other anymore, so I just, the first words are, hey, what do you care? Are there people who just like are like that? They've been working together a long time at the mall or something, and one guy's there and the other guy walks in and it just starts with that. Hey, what do you think? Do you care who starts for the Jets? Not even like...
Probably, yeah. I think it's a sign of a strong relationship.
Me too.
Not a weak one.
Right.
You know, I don't need any pleasantries or polite...
No.
You know, like, how are you today? Tell me about your feelings.
No. Hey,
whatever. I'm good, man.
No, just no warm-up.
No.
By the way,
Do you care who starts at quarterback?
Yes, I do. Flacco. I need Flacco to start.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Need.
Yeah, right. Right.
You care maybe 2 out of 10. I'm like a 9. I mean, if he doesn't, I just want to know. I don't want to have to go to Sunday without knowing and not be able to make my moves. Like, yes, actually, I'm that far in that I have Flacco teams.
Yeah.
You don't want Flacco teams normally.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, there's no hard and fast rule about this, but I feel like other positions are more likely to go up to that pregame warm-up, whereas quarterback, they'll make a call on before the weekend. By Friday, like, you'll know whether who's
you think?
Playing. Yeah, I think so. I predict that that's what happens. I don't know if that's what always happens. I'm sure there have been quarterbacks that took the warm-up and went, I'm good to go, or no, my arm is still shot, or my knee or whatever. But I feel like quarterback is so important that the team – usually can't keep it a secret, and we'll just tell you what's happening because somebody finds out.
The Jets don't keep secrets well anyway.
No.
You usually find out who's mad, who's upset with the Jets. They don't really seem to keep any secrets. So, all right, I guess we'll find out. Not sure it matters a lot to the game. Darnold, I mean, there's already Miami and Ryan Fitzpatrick in the division for, like, drama and – you know, it's a great conversation. Like, what was that about? What will happen? All kinds of different layers to it. And, you know, the Jets, they're always interesting to me. What happens to Darnold is super interesting, too, because he has shown flashes, but he seems like he's in a hopeless situation. And, you know, Josh Rosen was kind of like that without as many flashes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they went in a different direction with Kyler Murray, first overall pick. And the Jets may end up in the same situation with Darnold. And if they think they will end up there, which a lot of people do. I mean, who does finish with the worst record in the NFL? So, like, if the Jets think they're headed there, and whatever they can do to that to affect it, too, by the way, they have some control over it, then maybe you just move Darnold.
Like now?
Yeah.
Not wait until April? Yeah.
Would you want him? Boy, he is a weird – Ryan Fitzpatrick is, like, perfect for – we're drafting Tua. We have Ryan Fitzpatrick. We can take our time and make this about Tua. Now, maybe they would tell you that they did that. But that, you know, the coach has been talking like he's not ready, and now, of course, well, he's ready. And there's probably some truth in that. But there's also, like, you know the whole time that they want to get him in before long, and Fitzpatrick made it hard for them to do that, you know, any earlier. Even this is strange.
Yeah, right. Right. It is maybe the most the least warranted jamming of the young guy in recent memory. Like, usually the team is bad. The team was bad. They drafted a guy, and maybe he's waiting, and you're just sort of going through the motions of deciding when that happens, and at some point you're 2-5, and you go, okay, well, let's do it. You know, now the Dolphins aren't, you know, they're 500, which, you know, is not, you know, there's a race to run.
Yep.
But it may be more emphatically than ever drives home the point that the guy is going to play no matter what you say in April and June and August. The guy is going to play. The internal pressure in the organization, the pressure from the outside, whatever it is, like you are going to feel like you want to get him on the field. And I think the Dolphins are I mean, it's day glow orange on a billboard. Like, we want to play the kid. You know, the record be damned.
Yeah, they really need – well, I don't know if I want to say this. Like, I was going to say they really need to look as good as they've looked after this move, but maybe they don't. You know, long term, it probably doesn't matter how they look in week 8 in this, because Tua will be their quarterback for at least a couple of years, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to say when you're distant from it, but I think I would feel the same way if this were my team. Like, Fitz is awesome. The Dolphins are better than maybe a lot of people thought. Although, I don't know, I felt as the summer went on, they started to become more and more of like, I don't know, look at that roster. You know, I felt like that was out there. So I don't know how much of a surprise it is that they're 500, but regardless, you know, you've got, you know, a very popular guy in the job, and, you know, he's only a certain level of good, though, and I think you know that. The fans know that. Maybe even, I don't know if the teammates feel the same way, because they, you know, that competing and bleeding and all that stuff is different than from the outside. But I would understand sacrificing whatever chance the Dolphins have at the 7th seed, say, to start getting Tua ready so they can be a 2 or a 3 or even a 1 someday. Like, that's the idea. That's why you draft this guy, is to get better, and even if it means sacrificing something in the short term.
I would love this move to be ours. Not that, like, it's the Bills, but for us to be there. Because,
yeah,
I mean, it's great. And I am, you know, whether we're there or not, like, we're talking about it right now, I'm down with this. Because, with due respect, I mean, the guy's popularity is well known, and he's had a very interesting and compelling career. But I am waiting for the game where it cracks. Like, that is what his history is. And if my team pulls the plug on it before that game happens, great. Like, that is a rare move. That's what's so interesting about this, is the Dolphins didn't wait for that game. Now, you can't know that it's coming. But, you know, like, there are parallels in other forms of life, other ways, you know, that we can relate to, where, like, on a game show or something, is, okay, do you want to risk it or do you want to take the money? And then you go along, and eventually, you know, maybe you just go all the way, or maybe at some point you'll be like, you know what, I'm going to take my winnings and go home. And I think the Dolphins are doing that with Fitzpatrick. They're taking their money, and they're 3-3. They're a game out of first. That's as well as, you know, most people would have expected them to be at this point. And they're moving on to Tua. And then the rest of the point is that I think the Dolphins, without, you know, watching him practice or anything, but knowing who he was coming into the league, where they drafted him, and what has tended to happen around the league with young players, including quarterbacks, I think it's reasonable to expect them to be good.
Yeah, they might think they'll get like a Herbert bump here.
Sure.
You know, like that he'll perform even at a higher level. I think regardless, you do it anyway. It's harder to sell it, and I don't know what the – you know, I hear what Fitz is saying. I don't know what the Dolphins are wrapping this up in. You know, like what sort of talking points they're providing for this decision. But, you know, whether he is as good or better than Fitz right now or is actually a downgrade, maybe for the rest of the season, it doesn't matter. You have invested the fifth pick in him. He does seem to have a very high ceiling. I mean, I really love this player a lot. I'm eager to see him play and do well, but at the same time, like, I don't want the headache. Like, he's in the division, and that you know, that could be a problem down the road for the Bills. But I think it's easy enough to defend, and, you know, the only thing we can't know is how torn, if at all, guys on the team are about it happening. Like, is that a problem for the coach, you know, that they're making this decision? Is the perception out there that the coach didn't make the decision? That's never good. So there's all that political stuff that I think is a part of this too. But mostly, I think I would expect your fans are waiting for this guy to take over, and whatever the results are in the short term, you know, fine, whatever.
It's the kind of thing that didn't happen with Fitzpatrick teams and other places, where, like, in Buffalo, they paid him and anointed him by that, and then we had to sit through, because of that, we had to sit through a pretty long period where they were just, you know, not able to get better. And you knew that there had to be a change at some point, and eventually there was, but it can really set you back. Now, the Dolphins already have Tua in there, so, you know, the political part of it, I want to think that the coach seems like a guy who's really pretty sharp when it comes to his players. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, whatever that is worth, he's got a handle on that. I would think that he would. Well, I don't know that I want to bounce back and forth all day between the Dolphins and the Jets, but I kind of do want to do both at the same time, because, like I started to say before, in Ryan Fitzpatrick, the current news with him and that being, you know, aside for the moment, you have the seemingly the exact right guy for a team drafting someone else. You know, that's kind of like his place in the NFL landscape is, I'll play until you want to move on. You know, I'll be here. I'll just do it. I'll do it until you're new.
Right. Yeah.
I'm the car. You know, like, I'm the old car that has been passed through the family. And
just use me.
I'll just, you can drive me until you get your new one, or until you get one for the shop, whatever. I'm that. I'm old reliable. So, fine. Darnold, how do the Jets maximize what they have in him? I mean, if they are going to the first pick, I guess maybe even if they're going to the second or the third. I don't know the rest of the equation after Trevor Lawrence. But even if they were, there'd be some, you know, thinking. Maybe that's the same thing. I really don't know, and it can change anyway. Like, if Trevor Lawrence got hurt or something, it could change anyway. Although Tua is a lesson in that. But how do the Jets at 0-6 with the worst numbers everywhere? Maybe they're a 13-point home underdog to the Bills. They're a 22-point underdog next week.
Where are they next week?
Kansas City.
Oh, my God.
22.
22 points
yes.
In the NFL?
Yeah, like, who cares anymore? The wow. They're not, even with seven teams, they're not going to the playoffs. With Darnold back, they're not going to the playoffs. So what would you do? Let's take the emotion out of it, because that's how these decisions are best made. You take that out of it. How do you maximize? Arizona gave Rosen away. They got something back. That was a thing a lot of teams maybe would not have done. Don't you think? A second? It's a little bit tail between your legs at that point.
Oh, yeah.
But they did that. They got an asset back, and they were done. That was it. They wrote the check. Mm-hmm. So do the Jets – what is their best option? Is it that? Is it now? Well, is it now?
It but I don't know. Now the best option might be get him back on the field and hope – that he can play well enough to drive up his value while not ruining your perfect season. Maybe, I don't know. Because in season, I just don't think you're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody who loved Darnold coming out, still loves him now, and wants to pay, I'd say, even a second-round pick right now to come in and do what? Like, he's going to take over for a team that's trying to go to the playoffs? Like, that team I don't think exists.
Dallas.
Unless it's Dallas, maybe. And, you know, Dallas has their own guy that's coming back next year. They got to figure out how to pay. So, like, they don't really have a crisis that's worth paying a big asset for, I don't think. And
boy, that is interesting, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I hadn't thought of that piece, but what if they do make a deal like that and he's good? Then it gets weirder with Prescott.
It really does, yeah. And, you know, the Jets, what's the best-case scenario is you are positive, and you're right. You have a you know you're right, that Sam Darnold is actually good and everything around him has been toxic, and you're going to use all this stuff you have currently to bolster your team around him and stay the course. I don't think that's realistic, because I think it's very hard to know that for sure, and the temptation to draft his replacement would be, I mean, just massive. So you're probably going to have to move on, and I would predict you're better off doing that in the spring than you are right now.
I don't think I want him back on the field if we're talking about establishing what his value is. I don't think I want him back on the field with this team if I'm doing that. It's interesting and maybe relevant. This is unlike Arizona, that the Jets have a different general manager than they did when they drafted him. They also have a different coach, but that doesn't matter as much. They'll have another different coach pretty soon. Or not. Maybe he'll be there forever.
Let's
but
hope.
They don't have, like, the GM there did not draft the player. So he's got no attachment like that, that, you know, if it's the same GM, it's such a bad look, even to trade him. Mm-hmm. But it's not. Like, the GM goes if the quarterback, you know, if it doesn't work out. That's what happened. So this guy, Douglas, does not have that. And maybe, let's assume he can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. Guy's well-respected. He knows he's got a pretty good shot. He's got by far the best shot at the number one overall pick. And maybe he lets Darnold be the backup for that, or the starter that gets replaced, like Tyrod or like Fitz, you know. But Tyrod more than once with the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Or maybe, does this depend on what's available to him now? Like, I guess I would do it now if it's the right move. I mean, I think you could, and start Joe Flacco and Frank Gore the rest of the year.
Oh, you definitely could. It's just a question of, yeah, will you do better now than later? And, like, my guess is you do better later, but I don't.
But you can't.
No.
Do you want to avoid putting him on the field? Does that matter here? Does that matter in the equation? Do you want to avoid, like, maybe it doesn't change. You know, he's had games this year that maybe didn't change anything. You might. What do you think? Like, I think he's okay, but. If I had to bet on, does his next team, does he go to a new team and that team signs him and he's their number one quarterback? No. Like, I don't think teams are going to be ready to do that.
Yeah.
I
don't know what you accomplish playing him. Because if you organizationally do want to move on, like, if you're already thinking about that, and they'd be high not to be. I mean, they must be. Thinking about, you know, the future and number one and all that stuff. He plays well and drives up his value. Doesn't that tempt you to then keep him? because, well, look, he's, you know, he is this good. Maybe in that scenario, on that team, with the structure that's around him, there's maybe no reestablishing him as a grade A, like top shelf prospect.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be onto something with not playing him.
You know what else? So they have a new coach, and does that coach want to play Sam Darnold? I mean, you're setting me up. You are New York. You'll want some, you know, maybe this doesn't matter. Like, you want somebody with a name. I mean, they haven't always done that. But you want to get somebody to change your the image of your franchise, to change your fortunes. They did. They traded for Bill Parcells. They've been the Jets like we think of them for most of our lives. But they did go get Bill Parcells, and then they were really good when they did that. It's like the only time the Jets have been really good almost ever. So that's what you want to do. Do you put that coach, you put this quarterback in that coach's lap? No.
No.
You do not. You go Trevor Lawrence. That's all the Jets should care about right now. And if that means more jokes about them or whatever, who cares? You've already had a ton of that. You can last 10 more weeks. Here's the schedule. How many games do they win? They're 0-6. Home to the Bills, 13-point underdog. At Kansas City, 22-point underdog. Home to New England on a Monday night. That's cool.
Sure.
You'll be flying home that day.
Oh, yeah, that's the 9th. Yeah, okay.
Bye week at the Chargers. Aren't they like a 10-point underdog at the Chargers at least?
Probably.
Yeah. Miami again. They just beat them 24-0. Raiders at Seattle, at the Rams, Cleveland at New England. That's the whole season.
I mean, I don't know. They're not favored in any of those games, you know, unless they start winning some of these games in huge upsets or something. But I don't know. What is New England by the time they see them? Like, maybe, but even that sounds ridiculous. They've got the 0-16 is in the window. I mean, it's just a matter of whether or not, you know, the Browns have imploded by the time you get to them or something. Like, I have no idea how you win a game with that team right now.
New England's next two games, by the way, are San Francisco at home this week, late game, San Francisco at New England, and then here.
I don't know.
I think you trade him, and if you don't, it's because nobody wants him. But that's the other side of it. Who could want him? Dallas might be obvious for everybody. Maybe they don't want to do anything, but they could want to do something. And like, who else? And what would you do with Sam Darnold if you traded for him? What would you do with him? Who would he play for? Does New Orleans has Jameis, but like New Orleans, yeah, come on over. You know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll play next year for us. They could still do it. Some team like that, Tampa. Oh my, would that be good? That's actually maybe good. What should happen?
They already have Rosen. They've got Rosen.
Yes,
on
that's right.
Spot, right.
That's right. 803-0550. The Jets and the Dolphins, and of course the Bills. Like, they have their quarterback. We have talked about the percent chance that we each think they will have Josh Allen signed to a big new contract by next year's opener, and I want to update my number.
Okay, good.
So we'll do that. Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus. Sal Capaccio as well, the Quentin Spain release. See if Sal's got some sort of an inside story on that. Kind of a weird one in a couple of ways, and we'll talk about that as we go as well. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Obviously, that's above my pay grade and not part of my job. But anytime you have a teammate get released or whatever the case is, it's sad. You're losing part of your locker room. But so we wish him the best. But we gotta focus on a game on Sunday.
Josh Allen, Quentin Spain released. The release is curious in a couple of ways that are maybe fairly obvious. One is the Bills have injuries on the offensive line. And here's a player who was pretty valuable, I would say, to them, at least last year, coming into the season. They gave him a new contract.
Yeah.
And so there's that, too, that he costs them $4.5 million in dead cap money. They can withstand that, of course. They are doing it. But, that's not a great look when you sign the player and then basically get rid of him. And their doing that is a little strange.
It really is. This is a situation where, and I don't expect that we'll get an explanation any more thorough than just sort of generic, we had other guys, we're doing what's best for the team, blah, blah, blah. This is a situation where I think if you could explain to your fans what you're doing, I mean, you don't have to, but I think you could help yourself. I think a lot of people are sort of scratching their head, like, what? Because, like you just said, he was good last year, and I think people generally around the league, not just Bills fans, were impressed with the contract the Bills signed him to based on the performance he put on tape last year. And two games in, I remember before, or maybe it was after the third game, when he was scratched for that Rams game, I remember asking Sal, like, what is this, a disciplinary thing? Like, what has happened here? This was a starting player on the team and a good one that was just re-signed. So him getting benched was weird. And now it ends just a few weeks after that in a release. And there's got to be some pretty good backstory there, because I just can't believe his performance alone fell off dramatically enough that has caused this. It could, I suppose, but I'd be stunned if that were it. I think there's got to be something else.
Well, we'll see what Sal has to say about it, but it is strange for those reasons. 803-0550 is our number. We've talked some today about Sam Darnold with the Jets, the Bills' next opponent. And Miami, Ryan Fitzpatrick to the bench despite nice stats and a nice story so far this year. The Dolphins, a game behind the Bills. And we were talking about this with Darnold, you could even talk about, as we did yesterday a little bit, Fitzpatrick as a possible trade piece. But what about here? So we have had this conversation running through into the season, from the offseason into the season. And I like all this stuff all the time. The chances, your opinion of the chances that Josh Allen gets a new contract here before next season starts. And it just so happens that the Sporting News wrote about this yesterday, or maybe Monday, with the game Monday night. And did you see that?
I did not see that piece, no.
So it plays out possibility of Allen sort of staying at the MVP level he was at a couple of weeks ago, and what happens? We've got Mahomes has a new contract. We've got Watson. We have Russell Wilson's contract that goes back a little bit farther. You've got Lamar Jackson coming up this year with Allen. These guys' contracts are not up after this season, but this is when you see it. This
it's
is
the
when
first year you can do it. It's after year three. You still have year four plus a fifth-year option. So there's not urgency. It's more just... it's just, look, we've made our call. We've got our guy. We don't need to see anymore. We're getting married, and there's a reason to do that. You know, you don't want to wait around, I guess. I don't know about cap-wise. Like, it might not be the most advantageous thing to do as soon as you can do it. Yeah, teams usually are in a hurry to let you know they're anointing this guy as, you know, yes, here's our guy. Don't worry. He's never going anywhere.
Do you remember what your last number was?
I think it's been the same. So 85, I think, was my number.
85? You were that high?
Was it? Or was it 80? I think it was 85 because you started at, I think you came in at 86.
That's
like,
right.
Kind of kidding around.
And then I went to 89 after the Ram game, I think.
So 85 is still, I'm holding steady. I'm still at 85. I think, you know, we got a couple of weeks here of evidence to support, like, how it could not happen, you know, if he plays as many games like the last two, like he played, you know, then, like he played the first four. In other words, if you split the season, like, you get eight of the great games and eight that are kind of like these, really this last one, the Tennessee game to me was kind of messy, and he kept them in it, I think, and then had the late pick that was really bad. But I don't really hold him responsible for the score getting as crooked as it got.
You know what's interesting about that game, though, is Ryan Tannehill's performance. Because this is really like always – it doesn't have to be, I guess, but don't you do this by how you compare with the other teams? Like, what am I with this quarterback versus what are you with that one? Tannehill is killing it.
Yeah, he is.
You know, like, if you had a game Sunday, who would you rather have? I mean, I know that there's all the information. Yeah. I'm not really – it's not practical, but, like, that guy is – he's ahead of us.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I got to stop sort of doubting what's going on there. There's a pretty significant body of work there now. So, anyway, I'm just saying, like, the 15% chance it doesn't happen, and you're seeing why I think that the last 2 weeks. Because you can still see Josh Allen capable of playing, you know, just having a really tough day. I'm not saying I predict that that's going to continue or he's going to have eight games like that to go with eight really nice games. But it could, so that's why it's not a slam dunk to me. There's still... You know, we've got 10 games to go here, so let's see what he gives us. But I'm staying at 85.
I didn't realize our numbers were so close together. I thought you were lower. I know Joe was and Sal was. So, 85. I was at 89. You are now above me.
Oh, you dropped farther than that. Okay.
I'm announcing a change, yes.
Okay, well.
I'm announcing a change to, first of all, what really is the difference in your brain between 85 and 89? Like, is that really kind of the same? If you and I wrote an essay... Each wrote an essay explaining our positions. Would they not be almost identical, right?
Pretty much, I think, yeah.
I still think the Bills will look at this as, well, he gives us a chance to win big, right? Like, we have a chance here. We're this is right now. Right now is thinking. We're in the mix. We can compete. All that stuff. And, you know, off the field, he's aces, all that. Young, still getting better, right? Wouldn't that be said at the press conference announcing this? He's still getting better. There's always that. Anytime you're young, you're still getting better. Like, not everybody else isn't, but you are, so that's why it's meaningful. And I still think ownership would be like, oh, well, you know, somebody might say, do you see the Kansas City game? And he'd be like, well, do you see any Kansas City game? Does anybody beat them? You know, like, so... I feel like there's still probably a lot of optimism and confidence over there like this, but I got to come down a little bit. I got to be below you.
Okay.
I will say 82.
You can't just go to 80 or 75. You got to go to 82.
No. It's all these. It's the guillotine.
Why are you like this?
What's the difference? Why? Why do you need it to be around?
I don't know
why I'm like this. Ask somebody else. I don't know why I'm like this, but I am. 82. I am at 82%. It's come down these last two games because you have gotten, you know, your offense has been diminished. I mean, yeah. In important games against other top teams in your conference. Now we're back at, can you beat the good teams, right? We weren't thinking about that 2 weeks ago. But then they lose to the Titans and the Chiefs. And like, oh, Sean McDermott's record against good teams. Oh, Josh Allen against good teams. So, you know, a lot of teams can do the other thing. Ryan Fitzpatrick was doing the other thing. Stats and you know, you're in contention. You're in it. But when you're paying that money out, when you're signing that player, that's, this is where I want to be. That's this. This is where I want to be as a team with this guy. And so I think that's a little different than 2 weeks ago. Not a lot, but a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, sure. I mean, it's a, you've seen you've seen the other side now, right? You've seen the Josh of prior, really early last year, and maybe most of his rookie season. You saw these, you know, these outings that were like this. That's why I said, like, Monday felt like a throwback a little bit to me. Like, you know, and it wasn't all about McDermott and, you know, the defensive you know, posture that they took in the game. But even Allen's performance, the running, there were some throws. You're like, wow, look at that. They were misses, but like, look at that. Look at how far he threw that, you know? And like, wow, that was nice. I wish he would have been on target with it. And that's what it felt like in 2018 to me a lot. You could see the prodigious talent. It just didn't really amount to much. And that's how Monday went. So you get a dose of that and, you know, it slows you down, but for me, like, I've left room for that already. So I don't need to move on. I looked into the future and thought, I'm probably going to get some games from Allen that are like that. So let me go 85 and leave myself a little wiggle room to not do it. So I'm comfortable staying where I'm at. I still think, you know, those good performances aren't fluky and that they will get themselves on track probably this week against the hapless Jets. And, you know, then we'll go from there.
803-0550 is our number. Did you watch the World Series?
I did. I did watch. I was out by the time, I think Tampa hit a home run to make it 2-1. And then I just sort of followed along on Twitter, and I saw the Dodgers broke it open shortly thereafter. Betts with the home run. So, yeah, I was watching.
Was it a super long game? What time was it? 2-1.
Oh, 9:30, quarter to 10, maybe?
Not terrible.
Yeah. I think I was, I think 10 o'clock was the point I stopped watching, and it was definitely 2-1 by then. And I really think it sort of, the game might have been over, you know, score-wise, shortly thereafter, because I wasn't asleep before I saw it got pretty out of hand.
I'll tell you what,
if 7-1 or 8-1 is out of hand in baseball anymore, I don't know. But
I'll tell you what, that Bachelorette I watched got out of hand quick. It did not take long to get out.
Prone to happen.
Your game stayed close longer. This whole season's out of hand already. I mean, I know you've been reading about it.
Baseball or The Bachelorette?
They're both in a bubble. The Bachelorette, they are kind of in a bubble. Like they're
aren't they always in a bubble?
Well, yes and no. Like, they're at that mansion, and then they get on a helicopter you know, get in a limo and go to these other weird places and, you know, do fun stuff. But now they're just at this hotel.
So it's like Big Brother almost.
And at one point, the one guy goes, "Where are we going?" And my wife goes, "You're going to the other side of the hotel. That's the only place there is to go. You're not allowed to go anywhere else." So they're just going into, like, different rooms in this one hotel that I guess maybe was, I have to ask Bennett, was like just saved for them. But no, I'm not watching the World Series. I also watched a little bit of Tootsie last night, which is one of the greats. One of the great movies, Tootsie. What a movie. Come on. Look at that acting. Look at that cast. What a story. Watched it. My son was playing video games. And I'm just sitting there watching Tootsie for the 50th time. What a feeling. What a proud moment.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Could have been you.
No, I'm glad it wasn't. I mean, nothing against Julius playing video games. I might have enjoyed that.
Sea of Thieves. He's playing Sea of Thieves lately. You know that one?
I got to ask Leo about that one. I don't know.
Yeah, I do.
Hopefully
it's cool enough for your older kid to know about it. Hopefully it's like, he's 11. Hopefully, well, how old is Leo? Like 16?
He's 16, yeah.
So hopefully, you know, that would be cool status for it if he knows about it. Julius would like that.
Okay.
Well, Leo knows about this game. That's how cool it is. Not just for little kids. Not like Dora.
Right.
We have Austin Gale from Pro Football Focus coming up in about 15 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
My involvement ebbs and flows with where we are as a football team. In this case, it ebbs and flows with the defense. Defensively, I thought there were some good things the other night. But moving forward, let's get those and let's make sure that we have the right guys on the field, doing the right things fundamentally. We're growing fundamentally from front to back, and we're doing things that we have inherently done and have been a big part of what we've done defensively the last 3 years here.
Bills defense statistically way off last year's pace. We talked about yesterday, like, they are playing very good offenses. And, you know, that happens to include the Raiders, for one, that maybe we didn't think of like that, or still don't. But so far this year, they have been that. And that was without Ruggs. Henry Ruggs did not play against the Bills. But when he played against Kansas City and Carolina back in week one, he made a difference. He doesn't get a lot of balls, but he's big plays. And so they've played four teams, the Chiefs, Titans, Raiders, and Rams, who are in the top 10 in yards per play. And Miami is 17th. The Jets, I assume, are low on that list. I didn't even look. My screen is not that big. My
screen, subterranean. Their stats are.
Yeah, they're 40th.
Yep.
In the NFL in offense. So, you know, that matters, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, who you're playing, when you play them, you know, how they're playing and all that, sure. It might be something to give you some reason to at least hope that the Bills' defense is going to stabilize at some point here. But they've had a rough 6 weeks, I think, mostly. they had a tough time stopping people.
I have had a rough 6 weeks when it comes to the picks. I am getting smoked for the second year in a row. You need a syndicate. You need investors at this point, don't you? Come on. Look at this. Look at these stats. What was last year? Find last year's record.
Last year, I don't know what the record was. I was 20 games over 500 in the end. Five games a week times 17 weeks, whatever. And I guess the playoffs would have been wrapped up in that, too. We picked the playoff games.
So 20 weeks.
Okay. So,
we were 3-2 every week for the year
basically,
on average.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's 60%. That's great. And this year, 19-11?
And one. Yeah, there's
and
there's
one.
We both have a push. Yeah,
I'm six games behind. Like, that is serious stuff. 60%, you know, you could have a Saturday morning show.
Yeah. It would be full of lies. I don't know really what I'm doing.
No, that's what makes it so endearing.
Yes.
And appealing to listen to. It's like, listen, I will tell you. I don't know.
I have a system.
I'm just right.
Right.
I'm not promising to be right. Past results, future performance, etc. But I've been right, and that's proven. This is not like, you know, old Frank here picked 7-0 last week. No, this is, we broadcast these.
Yeah, well.
Or else I would tell you I'm good, too.
If I can keep it going, well, you are. If I keep it going, maybe this will be, I don't know, phase three of my professional life will be gambling show host, pizza manager, pizza restaurant manager, radio talk show host, gambling expert. There you go. There's, what a life.
I would listen to the show. No practice today for John Brown, Dawson Knox, Cody Ford, and Tyrell Dotson. Three other players limited. More details on the Bills and Sal Capaccio, his insight on the Quentin Spain release as well, coming up in a little over an hour. Next, Austin Gale from PFF. We'll talk Bills and NFL, of course, with him. Stay tuned. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.